Ladies and gentlemen, let's all stand for the reading of God's holy word and welcome to the Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class number 242 as we continue to deal with the subject of how to overcome temptation, part 118, and we're dealing with the temptation and sin of envy, according to the Word of God. And we are in the Old Testament, for the Old Testament is the Word of God as well as the New Testament. Welcome, dear friend, to the Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship Class. My name is Daniel White, the third president of Gospel Light Society and pastor of Gospel Light House of Prayer International. The purpose of this time together is to teach young believers in Christ everything they need to know about their faith in Jesus Christ and provide them with the knowledge they need to live victorious Christian lives. This is our discipleship, a part of our discipleship ministry. Now, you will be amazed how many thousands of folks listen to this Bible class, our Onward Christian Soldier Bible class a year, and hear my preaching from the Gospel Light House of Prayer pulpit around the world. You will be amazed at how many cities in China that if I applied to go preach in China, they would deny me. Same thing with Iran and possibly Iraq, certainly Saudi Arabia. But many people, we have the statistics that show up every day showing us that many people in these closed countries listen to me preach the gospel and teach the Bible to encourage young Christians in the faith. I thank God for the technology that He has wrought that allows us to get in behind the closed gates to get the gospel and God's word to people this way. Right now we are live on multiple platforms, and there are, I am told, 13 platforms that people can hear me on around the world. And we thank God for that. What a great time to be alive. 40 years ago when I started out, I never thought that we would be doing, being able to do what we do. That's why when God calls you, God saves you, you need to walk by faith and not by sight. But be that as it may, our key Bible verse is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. A very familiar verse to many older saints. Back in the day, we hid this verse in our hearts, and so we know it, but many young Christians don't know it, and they wonder why they're falling into temptation and sin. The Bible reads, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for our foundational verse in this long series on how to overcome temptation, how to have victory over the temptation to sin, for this is a lifelong battle And we thank you for this verse. Help us all to hide it in our hearts, to love it, to cherish it, and to obey it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. You may be seated. I've already expounded on this verse. It is a verse that we bounce from now to deal with specific temptations, specific temptations to do evil, to commit sin. Because if you can avoid, if you can learn to avoid sinning against God, your Christian life will be much better. Because God did not save you to sin. When he forgave the woman caught in adultery, he told her to go and sin no more. He expects us to do the same once we trust him as Savior, once he delivers us and saves us. He wants us to go and sin no more. You can be victorious over sin and temptation. Our lesson today is titled, How to Overcome Temptation, Part 118, Dealing with Envy. In this section of our Onward Christian Soldiers Discipleship class, we are looking at specific temptations that are, as the Bible says, common to man and to woman. Now, we do have these super saints today who they will lie and say to you they're never tempted. And I will call them to their faces, a lie. Their feet ain't made and their heart pumps peanut butter. And I mean that. They're just liars. These people who somehow think that since they became a Christian, they can't be touched by temptation. Well, Jesus was tempted, but he overcame temptation and sin. And since we have Jesus living in us, we can overcome it as well. We are looking at what the Bible says about these temptations and these sins that are common to man, so we can be aware of the dangers, because nothing can derail your Christian life. Nothing can put you in a depression and cause you to feel guilty and ashamed like sin and evil, doing wrong because you have fallen into temptation. Nothing can make you experience the broken fellowship between you and God like sin, see? And so this is very important. Avoiding sin by not yielding to temptation. So we are looking at what the Bible says about these sins and temptations, so we can be aware of the dangers, and so that we can hide Scripture, Holy Scripture, in our hearts to use when we are tempted. And the sin that we are looking at today is the sin of envy. Envy. Being envious of others. Like so many people in the church who are trying to keep up with the Joneses. One brother gets a bigger house, and then this other, the wife says, why don't we get a bigger house like them and live in the same neighborhood? Envy. Somebody gets a new car, you go out and get a new car. Someone gets a better job, you go out and get a better job. Keeping up with the Joneses. And the strange thing about keeping with the Joneses, oftentimes the Joneses don't care what you do, and they don't even notice what you're doing. This is the fifth sin in a list of 12 temptations that comes from two sources, one ancient and one modern. The first source is a list that was developed by monks in the early church called the seven deadly sins, or the cardinal sins. And you can believe what the monks say or not, it doesn't matter. But everybody agrees that these sins, along with other sins, carry heavy consequences. So many people have been driven to bankruptcy because of envy. Envy. So many people have been driven to murder and to theft, and driven to jail, because of envy. Envy. Envying other people. Just consumed with it. And in this day and time, more and more people are caught up with envy. They are bombarded with people doing stuff that they would like to do on TV, and especially on Facebook and on Instagram. They're filled with envy and jealousy because it seems like everybody is having such a fun time and they don't even serve God. You have many Christians like that. And that's why they need to read the Old Testament and the New Testament, so they can stay grounded. For the Bible tells us in the Old Testament, don't envy the wicked. And just remember, they may look like they got it going on now, but their end is going to be terrible. The second source is a Bonner survey from 2011, which tracked the top temptations Americans admitted to struggling with. So let's get right to it. Today we are looking at Genesis chapter 37, verses 5 through 11. Please remember, the text of this lesson is made available online after each class, so you can go to our website at gospellighthouseofprayer.com, click the Onward Christian Soldier's banner, according to my oldest son, Daniel White III, on the home page, and begin to learn these verses by heart throughout the week. The Bible reads, "And Joseph dreamed a dream." Joseph was a dreamer. Martin Luther King Jr. is not the only one who had a dream. And he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Sometimes, and what we can learn from Joseph here, sometimes it's best to keep certain things to yourself. In the words of Mrs. Mary Foster, you tell a little and you keep a little. And he said unto them, "Hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed." And maybe Joseph thought he was a little bit special. "For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaf stood around about and made obeisance to my sheaf." And his brethren said to him, "Shalt thou indeed reign over us?" See how they jumped to the conclusion that quick? They already had hatred in their hearts. See, when you got folk who already envy you and they already, you know, got a problem with you, they're going to jump real quick as soon as you say anything. I see what the problem is. You think you're better than us. But yeah, you really think we're going to bow before you, boy? I'm the oldest. I'm older than you. "Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us?" And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. Not only was he loved, if you will, by his father in a special way. Verse 9, because he was the baby boy. "And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream." Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I, that is your father and thy mother, your mother and thy brethren, indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth? And this is when parents will say, okay, you're getting too big for your britches now, boy. Oh, doggone it. Now, wait a minute. I know you got something going on with your brother, but don't come telling me that I'm going to bow to you. I'm your daddy, boy. I brought you into this world, boy, and I'll take your behind out of here. What are you talking about? Now, you really going crazy. Have you lost your mind, boy? Maybe I have spoiled you with your coat of many colors. Maybe I have spoiled you rotten, boy, for you to come to me with some stuff like this right here. I will never. Are you kidding? Boy, your mother changed your diapers. What are you talking about? I'll never bow to one of my children. Again, Joseph could have kept it to himself. For there were some in the Bible. The Bible says they kept it in their own heart, such as Mary, about Jesus. But some people, they got to tell somebody. Verse 11, Danae, and his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Beloved, before we begin, let's talk about envy and jealousy, for so many people get these mixed up or confused. However, they are two different things. Professor Merle Perlman explains, jealousy is defined as being very watchful or careful in guarding or keeping, like God over his children, like a husband over his wife. By the way, I won't give you 2 cents for a man who's not jealous for his wife, who allows his wife, you know, trying to be so modern, trying to be a metrosexual or whatever, just allow his wife just to get in the corner with some man and have a long conversation, and never says anything about it. And man can touch and hug her and kiss her and everything. He don't say nothing, trying to be Mr. Cool, until he gets angry one day and blows up and kills everybody. No, you need to say something about it when you first see it. It's okay to be jealous for the Bible, for your wife, and even for your children in a fatherly way. Because jealousy is the rage of a man. Not only that, God is jealous for his children. We don't hear that much today, but that's in the Bible. It's in the Old Testament, Brother Andy. It's in the Old Testament. God is a jealous God. So in that sense, it's a good thing. Envy is defined as a feeling of discontent. You're not trying to protect anything. You're not trying to help anything. You're just discontent. You're not satisfied, and ill will because of another's advantages or possessions. It is a resentful dislike of another who has something that one desires. My God, help the people in your church who have this problem. Some people are filled with this. And if you pull back the curtain on everybody's soul and spirit, it will be revealed. It is no coincidence that jealous comes from zealous, which means ardent devotion. The first uses of jealous in English were attached to biblical devotion. If you have or had something and are trying to protect it, you are jealous of it. That is why God says he is a jealous God. He is trying to protect his people and his world. God is a jealous God. Aren't you glad that God is jealous for you? We got some wicked people who, I don't want nobody jealous for me. I want to do what I want to do. No, God is jealous for you, and he will do everything he can to help you and protect you from yourself and from others. Envy, on the other hand, is more like want and desire. Wicked want and wicked desire of other people's stuff. Envy derives from the Latin word invidia, which means to look askance upon. Askance means looking out the corner of your eye at somebody. I'm envious of you. I want what you have. I want your husband. I want your children. I want your house. I want your wife. I want your male servant and your maid servant. I want what you got. You going out on the lake on one of them little flyabouts. I wish I was there doing that myself instead of being here with my numbskull husband or my numbskull wife. And try to be happy for them. Oh, you look like you having fun. Well, I tell you, you were just doing a wonderful, having a wonderful time. You'll say everything but I wish I was there. To look askance upon, as in to give someone the evil eye. You've seen it. You've seen that evil eye. Sad to say, is in the church. When people are envious of your family, envious of your money, envious of your car, envious of what you got, envious of how God has positioned you in the church, envious at how God has raised you up. How can he do that? How can God bless him to be at the center of this thing? And man, I've been serving God more than he has, longer than he has, and I haven't even done some of the bad things he's done. Look at him. But see, you ought not to be concerned about that. You need to hear what Jesus told Peter when Peter said, what about this one? It's John, this beloved one. Jesus said, don't you worry about him. You just do what I tell you to do. The biblical sin is envy, not jealousy, end of quote. And with that today, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to cut it short. I have so much more to say to you. But I think we hit on something today that you can chew on for a while. Over this next week. For many people don't know the difference between envy and jealousy. And jealousy can be a good thing. It ought not to drive you crazy. It ought not to make you do evil. For vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Don't put yourself in jail. Someone, old folks used to say, don't give them a stick to beat you with. It's okay to be jealous over your wife, and you talk to her and tell her, because there are dogs out there who will say what they want to say and do what they want to do. That's fine. As long as they don't touch her and bother her and nothing happens, you don't need to go out there trying to kill somebody. Now, if they, you catch them in bed somewhere, all bets off. Even the judge will say, well, you know, he did it out of jealousy for his wife and love for his wife, and so they're both dead. We're going to let him live in peace and go get married to a faithful wife and so forth and so on. But don't jump the gun, so to speak. Pun not intended. Don't jump the gun, okay? God is a jealous God for you. It's okay to be jealous over your family, jealous over your children. God will expect you, and here's how you handle it. You tell them to their faces what you don't want them to do. You see them all up in somebody's face, always running up in somebody's face, and somebody, a certain a certain joker is always around them or close by, you go put a stop to that. And if you have to go and speak to the joker, and after you done spoke with your wife and things have not changed and your wife is trying to do what you told her to do, and in fact she's doing what you told her to do, so it might be time to go talk to him. Say, listen here, brother, you're in the church, so I assume you're a brother. Let me tell you something now. Let this be the last time you run up in my wife's face, trying to hug her and all that. Cause we don't play that. I don't play that, man. No, you know, we don't do that. Now he'll get the message unless he's crazy. Unless he is insane. When a brother come and talk to you like that right there, he'll get the message that you don't want that done, and he will disappear. I guarantee you, he won't be within 50 feet of your wife. Again, because you have done what a man ought to do when a man is always trying to hit on your wife. You've already told her, she's doing her part. Then you might, if he's still trying to pursue your wife, you might need to go and talk to him and say, look here, brother, man or whatever. Yeah, look here, we don't roll like that, okay? And you say with that, you know, that little smiley, half smiley, no smiley face. you do stuff. You understand what I'm saying? Okay, all right. Okay, just make sure you understand now, because next time I see that, we may have some problems. But you know, take it for what it's worth. Okay, all right. Now God bless you, brother. Amen. Amen. And be through with it. But none of us should be envious of anybody. None of us should be envious of anybody. Because when you do that, you're saying to God that you're not content. You're not happy with what God blessed you with. You're not happy with your station in life. And see, one of the things that Christ will help you with is to be content with what you have and your station in life. And you operate within the boundaries that God gave you, and you're happy for other people who have different boundaries. And let me help you. There are some people in the world who are smarter than you are. Excuse me. There are some people in the world who have a greater capacity to understand things and do things than you do. There are people in the world who are more gifted in certain areas than you are. And so therefore, you need to be content with the gifts and talents and capacity that God has given to you. And you use it to its fullest within the boundaries that He's given to you. And don't try to be like somebody else. Don't try to do what other people do, for you will fail. And you'll waste your life trying to be like others. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, let's close. Let's all stand for prayer. As saints, as I'm talking to Christians right now, primarily, but I'm talking to everybody else as well. Let's pray. Holy Father God, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. We thank you, Lord, for leading us to deal with all of these subjects, these temptations, these sins. And now, Lord, we thank you for leading us to break down the sin of envy that can set a Christian free. No Christian should be caught up envying anybody. That's a waste of life. That's a waste of energy. And a waste of talent and time. Lord, they can save years in their lives by avoiding envy. At the same time, for husbands and fathers particularly, and even mothers and wives to a certain degree, Lord, it's okay for them to be jealous in a loving way, in the way that you're jealous for us. that you will do what we need to, you will do what needs to be done to protect your own, and we should do the same in a loving way without going overboard. And so, Lord, have mercy and grace upon us, those of us who are Christians, who have envious hearts, who cannot stand when you raise up other people into high positions and do greater work in the ministry and have greater responsibility and have a better financial situation, better housing situation, and the family seems to be doing better. Holy Father God, we pray that you'll help Christians to repent, confess the sin of envy, and repent of the sin of envy. And Lord, help those people who really have this problem, and this is eating their lives up, eating them up on the inside. Help them to stay away from Facebook. Help them to stay away from Instagram. If they are filled with so much envy of their brothers and sisters in Christ and of their family members, help them to stay off of that and to focus on you and your holy word and to be content with such things as they have. Now, Lord, we pray that you'll save those who are lost around us, among us, wherever they are in the world. We thank you for all of our friends in multiple cities in China who listen to this poor preacher and who in the underground church in Nigeria, in Niger, and Kenya, in Europe, in England, Philippines, Korea, all around the world. Lord, save those who are lost, revive those who are saved, and glorify your holy name. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. And ladies and gentlemen, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior in the free pardon of your sins, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I just thought about this. This is the first time I ever thought about it. I'm bringing the Old Testament into the New Testament. God says in the Old Testament that I am a jealous God. Could it be that one of the reasons why God sent his only begotten Son is because of his jealous love for us? So jealous of us, he knew that the devil would destroy us and cast us into hell with him. God, in his love, the God who said he is jealous, he is a jealous God. He sacrificed his own Son. He sent his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer, to bleed, and to die on the cross for our sins. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. Love from the jealous God. He did all of that because he loves us and he is jealous for us. And he does not want to see our eternity destroyed by the devil, the enemy. The Bible also says in Romans 10:9-13, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. And just simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shalt be saved. Believe in your heart that Jesus Christ suffered, bled, and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Pray and ask him to save your soul, and he will save you. And if you're willing to trust in Christ today as your Savior, please pray with me this simple prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Repeat after me phrase by phrase and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have done evil in your sight. I have committed I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have committed the sin of lying in your sight. I have committed the sin of lusting after people and things. I've committed the sin of stealing. I've committed the sin of dishonoring and disobeying my parents. I've committed the sin of taking your holy name in vain. And Holy Father God, there's just five of your Ten Commandments that I have broken. I have broken many more. For Jesus Christ's sake, please have mercy and grace upon my soul. Please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered, bled, and died on the cross for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Lord Jesus, I believe in you. Lord Jesus, I receive you into my heart, the free gift of salvation. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save my wretched soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of all of my sins past and help me to turn from my evil ways and my evil life and to follow you in the new life, Lord Jesus. For it is in your name I pray. Amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you just trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you prayed that prayer with me, and you meant it from your heart, I declare to you that based upon the Word of God, you are now saved from hell, and you're on your way to heaven. Welcome to the family of God, dear friend. I want to congratulate you on doing the most important thing in life, and that is believing on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. It won't take you long to read. For Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Until next time, my beloved, may the Lord bless you and keep you, is my prayer.